Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshell Valley on this very nice day to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A few announcements. I'm not going to go through all these real deeply, but first of all, let you know I've got an email in and I haven't heard back because John said he didn't get it, so I just got the card from June White. I think maybe there was a dot left out and so he didn't get it, so I'm going to try to call him today and invite him to preach because he's going to be in town next week. But whether he can, I can't announce to you yet. If I find out that he is going to be here, I will email those of you who are on the email list. Those of you who know John, I know what a wonderful preacher is, and he used to preach here all the time for us. We used to tease him and say he was our associate pastor here. So we'll see if he can be here, and hopefully he can, but he is leaving on that same day, so we don't know if it will work out or not. So hopefully we'll find out today, and I'll let you know as many as I possibly can. Also, let you know, some of you, everyone as members should have received stewardship letters, estimate of giving. Hopefully there's some cards out in the pews for visitors or other people who did not get them. If you can fill those out and drop those in the offering plate or mail them back to the church, we appreciate it. And then we're having the stewardship luncheon on November the 6th. We thought we were going to have Mark, who was catering the luncheon for us. It's one of the gifts that we get from him, so it's a free meal. You don't have to bring anything, just come and enjoy that meal. Guests, members, everybody likes you. You don't even have to fill out a card to come to the meal. But we're not having any entertainment that day. We thought we might be, but we are not. It's time you take your red pad, sign it. Pass it down to us so we can see your name with your name, address, telephone number, email address. If you have that, we would love to have that. Next luncheon will be Thursday, October the 20th. That's this week, with chicken breast, mashed potatoes, and you can read about that. The price is $8. If you'd like to help work, you can call the church or talk to Linda or talk to one of the ladies, or if you want to make a pie or a cake or cookies or something for it. I'll be at the Presbytery meeting, God willing, on Thursday. It starts at 1 o'clock, so I cannot be at the luncheons. It doesn't give me enough time to get there. Special thank you. You can read about that. The books were collected. Remind you, congregational meeting will be held November the 20th, and so we need to get those reports in. And this is the one we'll be electing officers and voting on. You'll be given presented the budget, which session sets, and you'll be voting on the part of the budget that has to do anything with my salary package. So I know you want to come out for that. And so please be thinking about and praying about, if you're asked to serve on one of the, which will be called councils, and as you know, the session is we are going to one board or one council from session, no longer be the trustees, but just a session, and then teams working out through that. And so we're very excited about it. Any announcements that need to be made that I've not made?
I have the call list.
She has the call list, and we'll give it out after church. Any other announcements? This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise 283. We are God's people. Thank you. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for bestowing us with spiritual gifts to help the church prosper. We praise you for all the blessings you have given to each of us. You have made our lives richer by sharing your love with each of us. Forgive us for holding back in giving of ourselves to your kingdom. We owe you everything. Yet, we often act like everything is ours to possess and control. Help us to have a healthy perspective on material possessions. May we grow to value the spiritual things of the world. Teach us how to be good stewards of all that is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
This morning, seek a sense of unity with our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. Persons here, you don't know their names, be sure to find out.
Amen.
Our responsive reading is 6:30, teaching children. And I don't think I made this announcement, I'll just make it real quick. Jim Eichner asked me to tell you that we're still taking up the canned tabs from the Pops. I've been doing it for about 10 years to help a young boy who lives in a group home. And there's some information on the bulletin board at the back, Jim said, or you can talk to Jim. I don't see, is Jim still here? Oh, another room, okay. So Jim is here if you want to talk to him about it, get some more information. Teaching children, 630 in the back of your hymnals. Take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. That you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might.
And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart.
You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up.
You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This time I'd like to open up the service to any pastoral prayers. Okay, Jeff Sears, who was in Iraq, has come home and has some family issues. Anyone else? For Don and Diane, there's lung cancer in that family. And for Muriel, also, for support. Anyone else? So Hilda, going to pass them, and she fell in the parking lot. Let's be in prayer for her, Gerald, and the family. Anyone else? Let's pray for the luncheon for Thursday, be successful. The Presbytery meeting, all the business being conducted, and for all of our church activities. Let's go to them for the baptism today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day thanking you that all gifts come from heaven. You are the one who created the heavens and the earth, and you bestowed us with spiritual gifts, and you bestowed us with the water, the animals, the plant life, this planet, and everything that is on it that is so amazing. The sky, the solar system, everything was given by you and your wisdom and your power to speak the universe into existence. We are just in awe of it all. One of the scriptures says that you own the cattle on a thousand hills. In other words, really everything in this life belongs to you, and we are simply stewards holding on to it for a while. Yes, we may pass some of our material possessions, homes and automobiles and even some monies or stocks and bonds down to our children, but we can't take it with us, so we don't really own it. You do. It is yours. Our talents, who we are as human beings, Everything belongs to you. These are gifts from above. So help us this day to understand that and to give back to you of our time, our talents, our monies, everything from our hearts, to be a cheerful giver, to love one another, to use our gifts to build up the church, our families, our neighborhoods, our government, our schools, our country, even the entire world. Help us to be the men and women, the boys and girls, the Christians that you have called us to be. We need your help. We ask that we can move forward in our faith and our understanding. And Lord, as part of that, we pray for one another. These names that have been mentioned, names in the Valley newsletter and the bulletin, and names that we're thinking of now, names that we may be shy about mentioning because they're private. But we lift them all up to you, and we come into agreement with one another. And we thank you for this opportunity to take time together in worship, because prayer is such an important part of our worship, spending time talking to you. Then when we go home, to pray again, and then to listen in stillness and quietness to what you have to say back to us. And we thank you for this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn, a screen song, Awaken the Dawn. Let's bow for a word of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the cross of Jesus Christ, what it means for the world, but what it means for us personally. You came into the world and you saved us from ourselves. You saved us from our sins, that we can have freedom. We can have a sense of peace. We can have salvation and eternal life. And we can use the gifts that you have given to us for your glory, not for ours. So we can point others to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they can find peace and salvation. Help us build up the church here at Glenshaw Valley. Help us grow in numbers, in spirit, in love, compassion, and mercy, and understanding. Help us be what you have called us to be. Lord, I thank you for the faithfulness and the love and the ministry here at Glenshaw Valley. Bless these people this day. In the name of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and yes, our friend. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. How are you today?
Good morning.
Today's scripture is another story about the opportunities that the Pharisees were taking to try and trap Jesus and get him arrested. The plot of this plan was that they were going to ask him about a tax that the Jewish people thought was unfair. For it was only levied on them. It was not levied on the Roman citizens, just on them. And what they thought was, if Jesus answered, "Don't pay the tax," then he would get the wrath of King Herod and company. Whereas, if he says, "Pay the tax," he would get the people upset with him, and thereby trapping him and destroying his power over the people. And by the way, when we talk about the Herodians, these are the people that had the ear and were supporters of King Herod. So that when they were sent with him, they would hear exactly what Jesus said. And if he said, "Don't pay the tax," they would get directly into the government and have Jesus arrested. So listen to Matthew 22, 15 through 22. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. "Teachers," they said, "we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, "Whose image is this, and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, "So give back to Caesar what is Caesar, and to God what is God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. It's a familiar saying. Even the non-believers, particularly from the King James Version, "Render therefore unto Caesar's the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's." There are only two things which we say are inevitable upon this life: death and taxes. And we can count on both of those. But at least death doesn't increase every time Congress gets together. Someone once said that the Eiffel Tower is the Empire State Building after taxes. Have you ever noticed that when you combine the two words, "the" an IRS, you know what it spells? Theirs. Think about it. Some of you remember the story of Lady Godiva. There's chocolates named after her. You probably may know it better. She allegedly rode through the streets of her town without benefit of clothing. What you may not know is she behaved in such a scandalous way. She was the wife of the Earl of Mercia, and supposedly she made the famous ride in protest of the taxes, wanting to get the taxes cut. Let's hope some of the representatives in our government don't do the same thing. Donna Bellin, an IRS employee, said that she was working at her desk close to IRS tax day, April the 15th. And one year, an elderly woman approached her desk and said that she needed a stack of tax forms. She said, "Why so many?" asked Mrs. Bell. "My son is stationed overseas, and he asked me to pick up forms for the soldiers on the base." And the woman said, "You shouldn't have to pick up these forms and do this. It's the base commander's job to pick up all these forms." She said, "I know, but I'm the base commander's mother." Even a base commander needs the help sometimes when you're dealing with Internal Revenue Service. And I suppose that most of us are smart enough to know not to cheat on our taxes, know that we need to pay our proper share of taxes, and to not mess with the IRS. And I went through a few years ago, IRS said that I wasn't paying my taxes. When I got that letter, I think sweat and just started perspiring and pouring off of me. And I called and I wrote letters, and they kept sending back saying, "You owe this much more, we're penalized, and we're going to take everything from you." And it took me a long time to get that straightened out, and I had been paying my taxes. But I have to pay my federal taxes. I send it in myself, and something got messed up. But I know many mafia bosses, they try to get them for murder and other corrupt things, but how did they get them finally and put them into jail? Since they were not paying their taxes to the IRS. As someone has said, don't cheat the government unless you really look good in stripes or orange. And I know it's a long time until April the 15th, and I've probably got some of your stomachs churning already just thinking about it. But it's also the day that the Titanic sank and the day that Abraham Lincoln was shot. So it's not really a good day in a lot of people's minds. And yet taxes seems to be on everyone's minds nowadays. Should we tax the wealthy more than we do now? Should we allow the Bush tax cuts to be extended to help people? How can we cut the national tax debt without raising taxes? And then one of the presidential candidates now has a tax plan saying 999. Well, actually, taxes were on the mind of people in Jesus' times as well. However, taxes were more sinister even then than we think about them now. Because taxes in Israel were paid not just to Israel, but they were paid more so to prop up the occupational forces that were there occupying Israel. They were paid directly to Rome. So to most Jews, this was an offense. The people of Israel were no different than any other occupied land. They resented their hard-earned money going to an occupying force. We would feel the same way if someone invaded our land and took over, and we, instead of paying to our government, we were paying to a government overseas. And to add insult to the injury, the Roman tax could only be paid in the Roman coin. And this coin had stamped on it the image of Caesar himself. The inscription on it read, "Tiberius Caesar, August son of the divine Augustus, high priest." So what did that mean? The coin with Caesar's image on it violated the second commandment. As far as the Jews were concerned, the commandment regarding the creation of graven images. So the Pharisees and the Herodians, Those in league with Herod thought that they had a winning hand when they posed a question to Jesus about paying taxes to Rome. "Teacher," they said, "being hypocrites, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. And you aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are." Oh, they're being so good, aren't they? "Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Rome, to Caesar?" You know, it was really a no-win situation for Jesus. At least ones asking this question, that's what they thought. If he counseled against paying taxes, he would be in trouble with the Romans. If he spoke in favor of paying taxes, he would be hurting the common people, the Jews, and they wouldn't be happy with his answer. But Jesus knew their evil intent. He said, "You hypocrites." He didn't mince his words with these religious people. "Why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coins for paying the taxes." They brought him a denarius and he asked them, "Whose image is on this and the inscription?" And so they said, "Caesar's." He simply replied to them, "So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's." What a simple answer, but how profound at the same time. So when his enemies heard this, Matthew tells us that they were amazed and they left him. They went away, rendering to Caesar the things which are Caesar's and unto God the things which are God's. So we know what belongs to Caesar, don't we? We get information from the IRS every year. I just got a letter from Shaler this week filling out a form. Make sure that Shaler gets their 1%. Everybody wants a piece of the pie. But what about God? What do we owe God? Sometimes we don't like to think about this. We don't like to admit it. We don't even like to talk about it because it's been abused by so many television ministries. But we owe God our money. There's no way of getting around it. The church would not be here if we did not believe in giving our money to God. Sometimes we get it mixed up. We think we're giving our money to the church, but we really, in essence, are giving our money to God. Whether you give a tithe, which is 10%, or you double that, or you give a fraction of that, you're actually giving, when you give here, you're giving to God. And we have to understand that giving is just a part of our responsibility as followers of Jesus Christ. We owe money to our country because we drive on its roads. Somebody has to pay for those roads. Somebody has to pay for our schools. Somebody has to pay for the benefits of living in a free and an affluent society. So much the same way we give to God in order that the gospel may be proclaimed here and now and into future generations so people can find out who God is and who Jesus Christ is and find salvation and find eternal life. Mark Sanborn is a well-known writer and motivational speaker. In one of his books, he tells about a now-deceased friend who died in 2009. His name was Charlie Tremendous Jones. Tremendous was a nickname. He had a tremendous attitude, positive attitude about life. Mark Sanborn called Charlie Tremendous Jones one of the most giving people, charitable people, that he had ever known in his life. Throughout his life, Sanborn says, Charlie gave lavishly of his time and his money. So Mark was surprised when Charlie announced to his other friends, "I have given up on giving." So they couldn't believe why he had given up on giving, so they wanted to know, and he said, explain. So Charlie Tremendous Jones explained why he had given up on giving like this. He said, "Everything I have, my life, my very potential, my time was given to me. So I've decided to spend the rest of my life returning what has been given to me." Charlie was giving up on giving because he realized he hadn't been truly giving in the first place. How can you give what you do not truly own? He realized that he wasn't really giving to God. He was returning to God what God owned in the first place. We fool ourselves when we think we own anything in this life. I believe that most of us understand this, but it's good to be reminded. A church like ours could not survive very long if people did not believe in giving and inspired to do so. Sometimes there's people who give according to whether they like the pastor or not. That happens in all churches. They give whether they like the denomination or not at a particular time. But Glenshell Valley depends on the followers of Jesus Christ who give because they recognize that all of life has been given by a loving, generous, caring God. And we are simply returning a portion of what God has given back to us. Sometimes back, ABC News carried a brief story about a woman named Louise Hauer. She won $50,000 on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I think most of us have probably seen that show at one time or another. Well, she's not a rich person by any means, and when she won that, she works for or volunteers her time in a food pantry called Assistant Ministries in West Houston. And there's a lot of poverty in West Houston like there is in any large city. Well, she gave 20%, $10,000 to that ministry. And then she was going on to give another portion to her church. And when the news reporter asked her about this, explaining her generosity, she said, "My husband Nick and I, we're very simple people. We don't need a lot of possessions. We don't need a lot. We don't need a lot of stuff to be happy." She said, "We are very blessed, and it's not stuff that is going to make us happy in this life," and we realize that. And she's very blessed. Beyond the blessings of material goods, Louise is blessed with a sense of spiritual maturity. She understands that happiness does not consist in just having stuff and getting more stuff and more stuff and more stuff. Happiness comes from being in a right relationship with God and right relationship with other people. So the first thing we do owe God is our money, but the next thing we owe God is our joyful service. And I say joyful service because some people will serve on a board, or they'll serve in their church, or they'll serve doing things, but they do it with a sense of, "I really don't want to be doing this, but I'll do it because I feel pressured, or I'm doing it because I want people to look up to me, or somebody's going to be mad at me, but I really don't want to be doing it." And that's not the right attitude. That's not the attitude that God is looking for us in our service. Sunday Magazine created a Faith and Life Award, and they wanted people to write in. And people wrote in letters, nice, beautiful letters, and a lot of them came in about people giving financially to their church or to charities or giving to both. But one letter came in, was written, not typed out, not beautiful handwriting. It was written in crayon on a simple piece of paper. And it read like this: "Anthony is a plumber. He helps some people fix up his house for my friend's family because their house burned down. He also visits my grandmother in a nursing home and makes her happy with his stories and his harmonica playing. He's a lot like Jesus. I hope he wins. But if he doesn't, it won't matter. He will still win in the same good old Anthony." And it was signed, "Love, Ann." I like that. "He makes my grandmother happy with his stories and his harmonica playing. He's a lot like Jesus." And I've known a lot of people like Anthony throughout the years, and I've known a lot of them here at Glenshaw Valley who serve with a joyful attitude. You don't even know the things that they're doing behind the scenes that are giving. Many members of this church, and I appreciate that. Anthony's like another man that I read about who worked for the Postal Service, and he drove a rural route. You know, you put up the flag and you can buy stamps and did that kind of thing. But there was one lady, and particularly, but he helped other people. She couldn't crank her lawnmower. So she would leave it out by the mailbox, and when she wanted the lawnmower cranked, she would leave the red flag up. He would get out of his car, come around, crank the lawnmower for her, and then drive off. What a lovely thing to do. Busy, needing to get home, but doing that. What a great thing. But you know, the most important thing we owe ourselves, that we owe God, is ourselves. The totality of who we are as human beings. We really need to understand that. More important than our material possessions, even more important than our acts of kindness and our good deeds, is that we have dedicated ourselves wholeheartedly to God. Whose image was engraved on the Roman coins? That's easy to answer. Caesar's. And whose image were we created? God's. Render unto God the things which are Caesar's, and unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and to God the things which are God's. Many years ago, the founder of the Salvation Army, William Booth, was asked if he could explain why the Salvation Army had prospered so greatly. He hesitated for a second and said, Dr. Chapman, who asked this, said, I saw tears begin to stream down General Booth's face. He said, sir, well, I'll tell you the one secret. God has all of me. There have been men with greater brains, greater opportunities, but from the moment I got the poor of London on my heart, I decided that God would have all of me. And if there is any power in the Salvation Army today, it is because God has all of the adoration of my heart, all the power of my will, and all the influence of my life. And I like that. You know, we cannot really give God our money. We can't give God a hug. We can't give God... We can't cut his grass for him. We can't do those concrete things to God. He's a spirit. So how do we do it? We do it by giving of ourselves to others. By giving someone else a hug, a person, a human being. By being kind to other people. By giving, yes, financially, to our church, that the gospel can go forth. That way we give to God. That's how we make it a little more concrete, by our acts of love, a sense of unity, by serving God within his church and out in the world. Give to Caesar that which is Caesar. Give to God that which is God's. In the end, everything belongs to God. Amen. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. Obeying the word of the Lord Jesus and sure of his presence with us, we baptize those whom he has called to be his own. In Jesus Christ, God has promised to forgive our sins and has joined us together in the family of faith, which is his church. Has delivered us from darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. In Jesus Christ, God has promised to be our Father and to welcome us as brothers and sisters of Christ. Know that the promise of God are for you. By baptism, God puts a sign on you to show that you belong to him and gives you the Holy Spirit as a guarantee that sharing Christ's reconciling work, you will also share his victory, that dying with Christ to sin, you'll be raised with him to new life. Y'all come forward now. Jody, Brian, in presenting your child for baptism, you announce your faith in Jesus Christ and show that you want your child to study him, know him, love him, and serve him as his chosen disciple. Show your purpose by answering these questions. Who is your Lord and Savior? Do you trust in him? Do you intend to show your child to be his disciple, to obey his word, and show his love? For you, Jody, will you be a faithful member of this congregation, giving of yourself in every way, and will you seek the fellowship of the church wherever you may be? Oh, there you are. Snuck up on me. Yeah.
To the congregation of Glenshaw Valley, our Lord Jesus Christ ordered us to teach those who are baptized. Do you, the people of this church, promise to tell Landon the good news of the gospel and to help him know all that Christ commands, and by your fellowship to strengthen his family ties with the household of God?
Thank you. Now come to me. Yeah.
Okay.
Choir gets the first look. Look. Yeah. It's a big boy. Look at there. Yeah. Yeah. Look at all these people. This is your new family. Kind of scary looking, aren't they? That's what I think every Sunday. Yeah, I laugh at them too. It helps. Look over there. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's having a big time. Look at there. Look at there. Oh, there's family. Oh. Yeah. Some you may recognize. Yeah. A precious child of God, but we all are. Landon Lucas French, child of the covenant, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Come here, Abby.
Y'all sit on the front row in the service. Be up front. Bye-bye. At least children and dogs like me. Okay. What's our closing hymn? 456. Reaching for excellence. What a wonderful thing for all of us to attempt to do. 456. They'll stand up at the end of the service, give you a chance to come and welcome and get a closer look. 456. As we prepare to leave this sanctuary today, we ask for special blessings upon Landon and his baptism as he starts his new life in faith, and for his family, for the strength to raise him in the Christian faith, and for our church for that same strength. As we prepare to leave this sanctuary and go back out into the world, may we go thinking about our Christian faith and that everything that we are and have, we owe to God. And have a positive, joyful attitude about serving our Heavenly Father. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.